Good afternoon and welcome in to WEEI Afternoons. Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy, Stevens on a not-so-joyous day in Boston after your Celtics spit the bit. Fitzy, Andy Hart.
What are you doing wearing Celtic green today? Take that sweatshirt off right now.
Thanks to our friends at Jameson with the
coolest line hood. Which everyone probably glugged a handle of after watching that garbage fest of a game last night. That's right, I said garbage fest, everyone. A game that the Celtics had a 20-point lead in. A game the Celtics could and should have easily won. I called it a garbage fest. I stand by it. Good day, Boston.
Well, let's start there then. 108-105 loss for the Celtics in overtime. They couldn't hit a three to save their lives. They set records for three-pointers taken. And usually when you set a record for three-pointers taken, you're hoping the other record you set is for three-pointers made in a game. They went the other way. They went setting a record for three-pointers missed in a basketball game. And all the basketball world is bitching about it. We're going to hear ex-NBA players, ex-Celtics, analysts, you, me, Ted, Fitzy, Stiz, that's you again. I got you twice in there just for good measure. Dan Ball. Everybody's going to bitch about it. And you know who the problem really falls on?
Let me guess. The problem falls with me.
No, us. It's us, not all about you, Fitzy. Yeah. It's us.
No, that's what I mean.
Look inside. Yeah. Point with a thumb, not a finger. Because the Boston Celtics, unless they play the Magic, basically want to shoot 48 to 63s in a game. That is how they play. And six times out of seven, they blow the other team out. They win the game. They win a championship. They do all the things they need to do. And then there's the one-off where they shoot horribly. And we're like, hey, maybe don't take every shot from behind the three-point line. Hey, the third quarter, maybe mix in a two-pointer. It's how they play. It's the way they want to play. And it's like the stock market. Over the long run, it works really well for them. There is return on their investment. It's Joe Mazzulla's style. Hell, to some degree, it's just modern basketball style. You know, Fitzy, I hate it. I hate modern basketball vis-a-vis, as they say, douchily, in regards to shooting threes. I would love to get rid of the three-point line altogether.
You're not alone, my guy.
It's
you
awful.
Are not alone.
But the reality is, Joe Mazzulla is honest. He's not being intentionally obtuse when he says, no, I was okay with the shot selection. They took open threes. They took wide open threes. They just missed them. The story of last night's game was as simple as can be. Remember the old phrase, it's a make or miss league? They missed. Yes. Most of the time they make. Last night, they missed. And yet the general reaction is, oh, you got a coach better. Hey, Mazzulla, how about you mix in something creative and drive to the hoop? Hey, Tatum, how about you? No, that's the way they play. Like it or hate it, it usually works for them. Last night it didn't. Their superstar didn't show up. Their superstar was terrible. Their Batman and their Robin were both not very good.
Don't just say superstar. Don't leave that. It's not a singular. That's a plural.
Well, no, because no one calls Jaylen Brown a superstar. They call him a star. They call Jason Tatum a superstar because he thinks he's a top five player. He's the face of the league. He's the future of the NBA. And he's not.
207, Jason Tatum catching strays from Hart.
Well, they're not strays. This is more... you know how I was dead wrong when I said that the Patriots 0-17 was in play, and then they went out and won the opener against the Bengals in Cincinnati?
Yes, and then the narrative switched to 1-16. Yes, I know.
Yeah, well, I was dead wrong again on 2 points regarding your Boston Celtics. On the other end of the spectrum, I was overly optimistic. I entered the postseason thinking Jason Tatum was going to be an absolute dog, a badass D-A-W-G dog who
was
going to carry this team. Oh, yeah, D-O-G. He was the old D-O-G. He was a dog. And this is the second straight series. You notice that? Bad game in series in Orlando, game one.
The opener, yeah.
Bad game here.
Terrible game in the opener against Orlando. I would say they were commensurate to each other. They both were absolute bull snakes. That game last night stunk.
Orlando couldn't beat you. Instead, the rest of your team took over. This is Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum is who he is. He's maddeningly inconsistent in the postseason. He has stinkers in quarters and in games, but also has great games, great outbursts, and all of that. And then the other issue is, I picked him to sweep. And you are not good enough to sweep, apparently, because that game, you kicked it away. You absolutely kicked that game away. As you said, I think, in our text chain, Fitzy, they can't hit a three and they're up 20. Like, they're not even playing well and they're up 20.
I said last night, as we were all just making our sort of like next day show notes out loud via text messages, said meanwhile, the Celtics are up 20 and they're not even playing that well.
Right.
Now, that was both a commentary on the quality of the game we were watching, as well as a harbinger of what was to come, because the Knicks were just playing worse, or rather some of the Celtics' shots were falling. And I'll say straight up, I will happily own this take. Had the Celtics won last night, that would have been one of the least enjoyable wins I would have ever watched, and the Celtics didn't win, and so they lost. And ultimately, that was one of the least enjoyable losses I have ever watched. That game was borderline unbearable. I have never fielded more text messages from high school friends, college friends, neighborhood friends, anyone and everyone who was watching the game with, "This is pathetic. People call this basketball. This is the modern NBA. I can't stand this. I kind of want to turn it off." From when I started watching the game on my phone on YouTube TV in the kitchen making the kids dinner, to when I sat down and enjoyed the labored through the majority of the game on the sofa, to watching it back on my phone as the kids went to bed, and ultimately wishing I could throw my phone out the window. It felt like a grind. No individual part of it, no quarter, no segment. Nothing was fun about it. When Tatum was even hitting the 34-foot threes that he was settling for over Brunson or Bridges or whoever they had guarding him in the third, I just kept saying out loud, "The hell are you shooting these shots for?" And that's why I do have an issue with Joe Mazzulla, and I hope other people do, Andy. It's not just, check the shot charts. Well, I got to tell you, this guy and that guy have posted shot charts. They had this many wide open threes. They had this many ultra wide open threes. They had X number of super duper wide open threes, and they just didn't take them. How about drive to the freaking hoop and try to get a layup? How about a pull-up jumper? The lost art of the fadeaway. How about driving to the hoop and dishing to the guy behind you? A pick and roll. Something. This is my issue with Joe Mazzulla. It always has been, and it always will be. And I know he doesn't care about it, and I don't care that he doesn't care. I can't stand this style of basketball. It is not fun to watch. Even if they made 20 straight threes in a row, it's not enjoyable. Yes, it's an indictment on the current state of the game. Sorry, it sucks. It's really not fun to watch.
I just miss people saying this when they're winning 60 games, because generally
I
see people go, "Woo, this is awesome, baby." They're cheering at the Garden. They're loving it. They're having fun. And I get it. You're winning and you want them to win and you think they're going to get back-to-back titles and this is the way they play. I don't love it. And I also don't get the idea of, and maybe this is because, and we can get into this with Ted when he arrives at 3, the Belichickian game plan mentality, or do business as business is being done, or once the game declares itself, you play the game under those parameters. Like, this Celtics team has none of that. Once the game declares itself, you can't hit a three, they're like, "I can't hit a three. I'll show you I can't hit a three."
Now, it's Kylo Ren just yelling, "More,
right?
More, more."
I'm not asking Joe Mazzulla to change his overarching umbrella philosophy on basketball over the course of an 82-game season. I'm not, because I think he's too entrenched in it for that. It is the year 2025. But when something isn't working, you know, the old, you're just going to keep banging your head against that wall and hope the wall finally breaks at some point?
That's the definition of insanity.
I was just going to say, Dan, I was literally about to just say, insert reference to the definition of insanity, which is, of course, repeating an action and expecting different results.
And they are insane, and they're driving us insane for these one-off games. Because in all likelihood, they're going to win this series in 5 games, maybe 6. But the annoying aspect of them, like a stubborn teenager that knows it all, when you're the parent watching them, you're like, you couldn't just mix in? Because they built their lead. People aren't going to want to hear this. They built their lead in part because my guy, JB, was scoring 2-pointers in the second quarter. There was like an elbow jumper. There was one of those like weird alley-oops where he doesn't dunk it, but he just sort of lays it in. It's like,
And hat tip to him, I got to say, Andy, he took 20 shots last night. Only 10. Imagine that. Only 10 of them were threes. He actually took 10 2-pointers as well, whereas Mazzulla's got Derek White shooting 18 shots, 16 of which are 3, 8 out of every 9. Derek White is not Steph Curry. Derek White is not freaking John Stockton.
Nope, he is not. And he's a versatile basketball player who could do other things, but you can bitch about it, Fitzy. I can bitch about it. Ted can bitch about it when he gets here. Dan Ball can bitch. Stiz can bitch. But there's one person who's not bitching about the shooting and the shot selection, That's the head coach of the Boston Celtics.
Satisfied with the shot selection in that second half?
Yeah, I mean, I think for the most part, obviously, over the course of the game, you always can find, you know, 5-10 shots that you want to be better at. But, you know, I thought throughout the night, for the most part, we fought for good looks, you know, throughout the game. But, yeah, I mean, you can find 5-10 that we could be better at.
Fought for good looks? You stand far from the basket, and when the other team doesn't cover you, you call it a good look, which I guess it is in modern basketball. You said it's Fitzy. I don't want to read all those geek stats, terp stats.
Yeah.
They were all open. Almost all the threes were open, either sort of open, kind of open, wide open, whatever, the whole thing. You didn't hit them, and you didn't work for them. Like, how about just try something else? Just, you know, remember the old Eric Mangini line? Hey, Mangini, mix in a salad. How about you mix in a two? Because when you mixed in a two, you built a lead. And then my guy, Jaylen Brown, so I give him credit for helping build the lead. Then they start the third quarter. I believe it was back-to-back missed threes for Jaylen Brown to start the third quarter. Knicks go down.
Hell of a way to come out at the half.
Right. And it's just, oh, it is so infuriating. And then right down the wire, you had Jalen Brunson doing his job.
Mr. Clutch.
You had Tibbs. Well, not totally clutch because Tibbs.
Except for the bunny that he, Diego said, the bunny he smoked at the end. Yeah, yeah.
They drew up a beautiful play for him, something that is
Foreign?
Foreign to the Celtics. They're not like, wait, you draw up plays and get easy looks for your superstar just sort of
side
gliding
note to
toward
that,
the basket?
Andy, is there any way that, like, if Missoula has, like, an Apple Watch or something, like, can Brad Stevens was great at drawing up, you know, plays out of timeouts, game-ending plays to try to get guys looks.
Oh, yeah.
Is there any way he can zip one down from the owner's box, the president's
Be
box
nice,
or
right?
something?
How about just have, like, a binder? You know how PR executives have those binders, like, in case of emergencies, you pull it off the wall, and it's like, oh, my God, someone said this, or they did this. It has, like...
Or just any sort of emergency-based worker or something, like, oh, this is what you do if someone's choking, or this is what you do when you had a 20-point lead, and now you're down one with 3 seconds left.
So they draw up a final play, which I thought was borderline emasculating, and I love the guy. You know I love JB, but Mikal Bridges took the ball from him. He took the game. He took the ball. He took the win. And that felt symbolic. And I don't want to get ahead of myself like Stephen A. Smith, because I do still believe the Celtics are going to win the series. I think the Celtics are the better team. I think they're not going to miss 45 threes. God, please don't let them miss 45
threes. Maybe they'll miss more tomorrow night.
And well, records are made to be broken. That's what they always say about them. A good record is made to be broken. But when Bridges took that ball from Jaylen Brown, didn't it feel sort of like Teddy Bruschi with Rose? Like... You're like, oh, my God, do the Knicks just want it more? Are they more physically, mentally, emotionally invested in this? Because JB is a guy that I don't think usually has that happen.
Yeah, how about Peyton Pritchard trying to drive actually I think he dribbled the entire 24-second clock. I forget exactly when in the game it was, Andy. Somebody correct me. It was the third quarter, fourth quarter. But he dribbles down low, and he's trying to maybe get a look for either a fadeaway or kind of like – for some reason, Peyton Pritchard thinking maybe he could Eurostep it. And they end up tying him up, and he goes down to the floor. And Peyton Pritchard has the ball ripped out of his hands.
By Josh
Hart.
And
he looked like he had just, like somebody had just like knocked him out. He was like half stunned and half sad. And I had that same feeling like, oh, gross. You can easily say that coming out of the tunnel in the second half, the Knicks acted like they wanted it more. The Knicks played like they were being disrespected. The Knicks played like people told them all week they had no shot against the almighty Celtics. And the Celtics were just going to basically stand on top of the castle wall and rain fire all over the Knicks. Well, guess what? The Knicks avoided some of those oily dumps on them. They avoided some of those flaming arrows. They got to the castle wall. They broke in. And they stole the gold last night. And you know what? They deserve it.
617-779-7937. We are going to take your reactions early and often here on WEEI Afternoon. So it's early, at least in the first segment. We usually don't go to calls. But I see you locked and loaded. Line them up. So let's go to Orlando in Boston. What was your reaction to that Celtics loss last night, Orlando?
Orlando in Boston.
To me, I'm watching the Celtics. I'm like, it's just stupid basketball. Like, you made a point that they came out in the third quarter and Tibbs made an adjustment. You really did. Celtics went up 20 in the third quarter. But then you see your two primary guys, Jason Tatum, who, by the way, is supposed to be the leader. They're the ones that are firing these three-pointers. So if you watch the Celtics under Jason Tatum and Brown, constantly blowing leads under these two guys because they set the trend. Like, why not just go to the hoop? Like, two-pointers, count two, you know what I'm saying? But they want to shoot three. To me, it's just stupid basketball in the Knicks, right? Now you're going to hear these Knicks fans, oh, we can play with the Celtics. No, you can't. No, you can't. You suck, right? It's just the Celtics just have to play the right way, and they don't. And that's what – it's just dumb basketball, and that's how I felt.
Thanks for the call,
Get
Orlando.
Get him, Orlando. Let's go.
Can I
– isn't that – by the way, one, I love the fact – that a guy named or it's Orlando in Boston, like I know
talking about
did,
New York. And
yeah,
like,
we are
yeah.
No, we already did Orlando in Boston. Very ironic for the first call. But second, please bring that passion, bring that heat. You are allowed
better phone
to
would
say
be nice.
I hate this. Like I love this team, but I hate that style of basketball, Andy.
So you hate the Celtics because they've been playing that style of basketball back to Brad Stevens. Like, this is the part that I find a little hypocritical from the fan base,
is bitching
about it when you lose one playoff game, but accepting it, loving it, cheering it, lauding it when they've been doing it for years.
Who are we? No, like, for example, three years ago, April, Easter, everything was like April 17th, Easter 2022. End of the game that where they stole Kyrie's soul and they went up 1-0 and ultimately won the opening round series 4-0 against the Brooklyn Nets back when they had Kyrie and KD. Do you remember what they did? Remember that little backdoor layup that Tatum went for with like half a second left?
Oh, yeah.
An unbelievable play draw, unbelievable execution, everything. It was sort of like, oh, my God, basketball. That's so ballsy. That's so clever. That was so well executed. It was beautiful to watch. I hold that play like deep tucked away in my Boston sports loving soul because it was so gorgeous. I'm not saying you're going to run the same damn play or something like it, but it was just like a really well-designed play, not like dribble, 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 three. Hey, dribble, three, dribble, three.
See, the difference, though, is, and Orlando blamed both the stars, Tatum and Brown, and I actually think Jason Tatum likes playing this style of basketball. I don't think Jaylen Brown does. It's why I said in the crossover with Jones and Keefe, I think Jaylen Brown would be a better basketball player if he got out from under the umbrella of Joe Mazzulla. I think the fact that they want him to shoot threes, he's part of the Boston Celtics, so not just him, Derek White took 16 threes, right? Drew Holiday takes 7 threes. Like, they're just going to jack up threes. Jaylen Brown, I think, would prefer to, as Scal tells us each and every Wednesday, play on 2 feet in the paint, right? He loves the little mid-range jumper.
He's
loves to take it to the rim.
Person. But his strength, Andy, is not best used behind the arc.
Correct, which is why he was 6 of 10, if I'm doing my math right, from two-point land last night. 60%. He's a 60%. How about we double those twos instead of mixing in 10 threes? Let's just double the twos, right? Double the twos, and all of a sudden you hit 6 and 10 of those, 12 more points, you win the game.
The basketball computers understand your math, but it still does not compute in the long run.
Yep, that's Joe Mazzulla's problem. So we're going to get to more Celtics reaction. We'll get to my Twitter poll of the day where I asked a simple question about blame for last night's loss. And we've already been talking about some of the particulars. Mazzulla, Tatum, Brown, they're all options. Who did you vote for? What did you think of that game? And lots of phone calls as we react to that disappointing overtime loss to the Knicks in which the Celtics set a record for missed threes. Yuck. That's next here on WEEI Afternoons. But before we get to that, Dan Ball, he never misses a three when he does. What's trending? Jaylen Brown talking about last night's loss to the Knicks, looking for an easy two. And have I got an easy two for you, listeners, because it's two for Tuesday here on WEEI Afternoons. Be caller number 9 now to the contest line at 617-931-0937. And if you have today's code word, which was given out this morning by Greg Hill around 7 a.m. on his show, you'll score a pair of tickets to see the Red Sox take on the Braves on May 18th. That's the contest line right now, 617-931-0937. Caller number 9 with the code word can go see the Sox Braves May 18th. Yes, Diz.
Any chance he was subtweeting Tatum right there?
Can you explain what that means, first of all?
I was subtweeting. I was just being funny. But I just mean, like, you know, indirectly calling out Tatum.
Yeah, no, I Tatum, but I also think indirectly or directly calling out Joe Mazzulla, calling out the situation, calling out the philosophy, kind of what we've been doing for the first half of this show and saying, yes, we have a philosophy, we have a style, but sometimes you need to alter that based on the situation, right? Situational football, Fitzy, exists, and it was a backbone of winning teams here in New England for 2+ decades under Bill Belichick. I think there's situational basketball, and right now for that game, beyond just missing a boatload, a record-setting number of shots, there was some lack of situational awareness for the Boston Celtics because. And we're going to get to your phone calls in a minute, 617-779-7937. We see you lining up. But Fitzy, I get the analytical philosophy of shooting threes overall in basketball. I don't have to like it, but I get it. But when you are up 20, aren't you just protecting a lead? Like, 2 points is good enough. You're not chasing that mythical extra point, right? Percentage-wise, that extra point that the three offers you and all that. No, you just have to not lose 20 points. You have a 20-point advantage. Mm-hmm. So mixing in a two is okay. Even if they go three, I'm still up 19, and I'm advancing the game. You know what the worst is? Jack up a three, they score. Jack up a three, they score. All of a sudden, 20 is down to like 15, and you're like, wow, that's really trending
17,
wrong.
14,
yes.
11. Then
awful.
It's into single digits, and then you take another 30-foot three. Even if you made a two for every three, it would take them making 23s to your 22s
right.
to cut into that lead, which would take over an entire quarter of basketball, not to mention the fouls, turnovers, everything that would happen.
Right.
I don't lay this at the feet of any one individual person. This is a cacophony of missed shots, bad coaching, poor communication, everything, all the way through the players to the coach and the bench and beyond. And the worst case scenario, Andy, is actually kind of played out in that, A, you have now given the Knickerbockers some confidence that they can beat you. Forget about anyone else saying, oh, don't worry, oh, the Knicks can keep up with them, or this could be Knicks in 7 or Knicks in 6 as opposed to Celtics in 4 or 5. You've given the Knicks a boost of confidence, number one. And number two, you now have, once again, a sick Porzingis. Who knows why he had tummy troubles or the trots or the case of the yaks. And when that got into him and why he couldn't do anything last night, because he was a one-armed man in a rowboat last night, blindfolded. And then Hauser got hurt, and I don't know how long he might be hurt as well, but you strained your depth, lost some guys, and blew a 20. You didn't just lose, by the way, a neck-and-neck, like, all-time classic. You blew a 20-point lead, so you just urinated down your church pants in front of everyone, while also losing the keys to your car.
617-779-7937. Back to the phone line. Steve in the truck, what was your reaction to this Celtics loss, Steve?
Hi, guys. How are we doing today?
Good.
Hey, Steve.
You know, I've been watching this team since Havlicek, and I'm going to give you a name you probably know, right? You may know. Wayne the Wall Embry. That's how far back I go. That's what Stat says in them. I'm 72 years old, but I still work, and I'm still glad. So I watch this team, and I get aggravated. Last night, my wife's yelling at me, they can't hear you. I understand that. 97 shots in 53 minutes. 60 of them threes, which means they shot 1.5 threes a minute. If you cut that down by 20 and shoot 40 threes and maybe hit 60% of those other 20 shots that you take, you win the game going away. And someone's going to sit this idiot, Joe Mazzulla, jiu-jitsu my ass in plain English, right? Sit him down and say, listen, that's our philosophy, but we got to cut it down a little bit and drive to the hoop and try to get fouled, because you're not getting fouled in three-point land. And if it's on Brad Stevens or if it's on the owner of the team, I would sit him down and say, listen, it's working, but when it doesn't work, you got to curtail it a little bit and go in another direction. Because you know what? They can do this with the Knicks. They can do this with these teams. You get to Cleveland and you get to OKC or Denver, you're going to get kicked in the ass.
All right, thanks for the call, Steve. They're not changing. I don't believe they're going to change course. They believe that it's very simple. They shot poorly last night. They took good threes. They missed good threes. That's how they look at it. I mean, they've joked at times, if you miss a three, shoot two more kind of mentality. That's just their reality. They look at it as not changing the percentages. Just hit a couple more threes and you win that game. You're not tied. So I don't expect any changes. And in fact, you know, I sort of agree with the sports books. Celtics were favored by 9 last night. You know what they're favored by tomorrow night? 10.5.
Oh, yeah. I had not looked.
Because they're not going to miss all those threes. People expect them to come out and blow out the Knicks.
Hold on. What's the, sorry to be doing the Trump hands here on the Twitch stream, twitch.tv/BostonWEI.
Yes.
But what's the guarantee, Andy?
They played 70
averages, just your confidence.
Yeah, 70 basketball games. They've done this 5 times. The other 65 times, they've shot much better than this. Like, that's just the reality.
Okay,
this is one of their worst shooting nights
four
ever.
Times the season, and they
blew
won
them
all
out.
Those.
Right. It got tighter as it went. I don't know if people noticed that trend. It was a little bit tighter in game 3, go to overtime to beat them in game 4. Now you've played them a 5th time, and it goes to overtime, and you lose. There is a bad trend in the season series with the Knicks that's developing that I don't know if is coincidental or not. 617-779-7937. Let's go to Nolan in the car. Nolan, what were your thoughts on that Celtics loss last night?
Hey, how you doing, guys? I was just wondering, why can't Pritchard get any game, like, good minutes down the stretch? Like, and I'm not, like, calling the hate on Derek White or nothing, but he was one of the guys that was jacking up threes, too. And if you look at his stat line, it was terrible. And it's like, I know Pritchard's biting his lip on the bench there. He wants those minutes. Sometimes you just need a spark plug just to throw in a guy, get a change of pace, so... I don't know. That's what I was yelling at my tube last night. Just want to know what you guys think.
Thanks for the call, Nolan. I don't think they're going to do that. I mean, Derek White is a better all-around basketball player. Yes, he, like everybody else, he went 5 of 16. He jacked up 16 threes. But Pritchard, in half the amount of time, shot 5 threes. I mean, he's going to go out there. Now, maybe he hits them. Maybe you like him better. Yes, Dan Ball.
No, I don't mind the idea of changing things up, but isn't that exactly what Pritchard is going to bring if he plays more minutes anyways?
Yeah, no, it's he's going to shoot. It doesn't matter who's out there. They're going to shoot threes. It's whether it's the shorter point guard like Pritchard or your big ass unicorn when he's out there. Everything in between. They're all going to shoot threes. That's their belief. That's their mentality, is to shoot threes. One number that jumped out to me, and maybe people will declare me a Tatum hater. Did you know the only Celtic with a minus plus minus in the starting lineup? You know what his name would be?
What's that?
Jason Tatum.
Oh.
Everybody else was even or plus. Drew Holiday was plus 2.
Trade him, cut him, get rid of him.
And plus 1. I didn't say that. Don't be that guy, Dan Ball. Don't be that guy. Nobody likes that guy.
You're the Tatum hater. I'm fighting for second place at best.
I'm just telling you that Jason Tatum was a net negative, according to the numbers last night, for the Boston Celtics. And even with that, they were in the game. They were tied. They go to overtime. They could have won the game. 617-779-7937. Let's go to Johnny in Brooklyn. What was your reaction to the Celtics, Johnny?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call. Just quickly on a couple trends. 3 away teams won their first game matchup. So
yep.
I'm not, getting too freaked out over the loss. And I do think that I'm not a betting man because I lose every bet I make. But I like the Celtics to cover that bet. Game 2's the home team that loses game 1 usually blows out. Teams are happy to take one on the road. But the reason for my call, though, is about Porzingis. You're going to have games where your offensive approach wavers or you miss a lot of threes. But that guy, he's an important piece of this team in my eyes, and he looks bad in the Orlando series, and he looks bad last night. And then this thing about he's sick, and I'm not a doctor. But I'm worried about it. So, I want your thoughts. Are we going to get him back the way he was, or is this just what it's going to be? Because this is not great, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Johnny.
It's a good question, Andy. Has there been a signature Porzingis moment, or has Porzingis been a dominant factor in this postseason to date, save for, of course, bleeding all over the
floor? I mean, that was his signature moment, his WWE moment, where he comes back out, and that was in, some idiotic talk radio host painted that in juxtaposition to Jason Tatum sitting out that game with a boo-boo on his wrist, a bruised wrist, a pain management issue. But he hasn't been good. And I put it in the email this morning, the fact that Porzingis just isn't available. And we like him. He's got, I think Brian Frazoco put it in the email, he's got a great PR team. Like, the PR around Porzingis is awesome. He's got the WWE entrance where the cameras follow him out of the locker room, down the tunnel, into the arena, and he's high-fiving fans, and he makes faces, and he does all that. He's barely ever available. He's a complimentary bit role player with this team. We like him. That's great that we like him. He's fun. Woo! You know how he'd be more fun? He'd be a hell of a lot more fun if he was out there every freaking game playing 30-plus minutes and scoring 20-plus points. But that's not the reality for this guy. And last night, I mean, he was sick. I hate doing this, disparaging guys. Like, but sick? What does sick mean? Like, I've been sick a lot.
He was ill. There was an illness or a virus in his body.
Did you choose not to play, or you flat out couldn't get out there? Like, could you not get out there? You were so sick you couldn't get out there. I mean, we have famous examples over the years, Paul Pierce's and Michael Jordan's and all these other people, and you couldn't get out there. So I'm assuming you can't play tomorrow because it's like a deathly ill sickness. You've been sick before.
You're sick one day. Yeah. You're better the next. And also, I would like to remind you.
I would have played. Okay. I can tell you I would have played.
You don't know what he was going through.
Was he in the hospital?
All right.
I would have played.
Oh my God. Okay.
Jordan played. This is okay. You get
You're not Michael Jordan and you're not Kristaps Porzingis. This just in.
No, but the point is Tom Brady would have played. Julian Edelman, we put him in the Hall of Fame yesterday, would have played, correct?
Patriots Hall of Fame. Yes. And also, just like to remind you, last week when we were having a conversation about the difficult decisions that the new ownership is going to have to make when they step in, old Billy Buckets, you know, possibly having to get back into that second apron versus the whole entire idea of getting paid for parades and whatnot. When you have to make some financial cutbacks, would a guy like Kristaps Porzingis be considered potentially one of them being dealt away? Who knows what would happen? I tend to think if he's not available when you need him the most, which is, of course, the postseason, here you are saying you can't count on him. He's like a novelty. He's a hood ornament for the team in some capacity. This is why people point to his contract being potentially a movable one, because you need him out there. And instead, he needs freaking Pepto.
I'm sure people will be lining up to acquire his contract when he never plays. We'll have more phone calls on the other side, 617-779-7937. But I do need to pay off the tease real quick. Who was most to blame for last night's loss? Joe Mazzulla, 54% of the votes. Jason Tatum, 30% of the votes. Other getting 10% of the votes. Jaylen Brown, only 6% of the votes. Great job, voters. You did a hell of a job. More Celtics calls and reaction next here on WEEI Afternoons.
The old ACU.
I don't know what to make of that last part, but that was Kendrick Perkins, who's going to be very disappointed if he watches the rest of this series, because I can virtually guarantee they're going to continue to shoot threes. And I also think they're probably going to win the series by continuing to shoot threes, because they probably won't miss 45 of the 60 threes they take.
Let me ask you this question. So, like, we're still obviously processing last night's defeat, how the Celtics could blow a 20-point lead, how they could go to sleep at the wheel, the manner in which they decided to both play the game and lose the game, because they were a victim not only of New York's effort, but mostly their own device and failures. So let's say tomorrow night the Celtics come out, shoot the exact same number of threes, except when they rain fire tomorrow night, instead of going 15 for 60, let's say they go 24 for 60, right?
Yeah.
So they shoot 40%. And they beat the Knicks by 13.
Yeah.
Is all right in the world, or do we still have the stain and memory of the botched effort of game one on our minds?
All is right in the world, because if you listen every Wednesday at 4 o'clock-ish when we talk to Scal,
I do.
All year long, he has said, whenever we've asked big picture questions, he said, well, when it comes to a postseason series, can they beat the Celtics one game when the Celtics have a bad shooting night? Yes. But can they do that four times in a seven-game series? No, because the Celtics won't have the bad shooting night four times in a seven-game series. He has, I mean, been prescient. He predicted this. He predicted these games, and these games are here, and yet we're wondering, can we extrapolate off of game one? No, I don't think you can. I think the Celtics win this series in either five or six games because they get back to the way they play Celtics basketball, and they'll win a couple of those games by... I think you were even underselling it a little bit with a 13-point win. I think they'll have a 20-point win at the very least in this series. Dan Ball.
Before we continue, one more relevant piece of audio from Perk.
I'll be watching like 4-5 hours of tape every night before I take my beard off and go to sleep.
So, just got to add that to the mix as well.
He's an expert. You know,
he does his work.
Thank
you, Kenan Thompson.
He's working the tape, baby. 617-779-7937. Let's go to Jake in New Hampshire for his reaction on the Celtics. What's up, Jake?
Oh, listening to Perk is almost as bad as watching that game last night. Good God. Sorry, I'm not hitting the panic button quite yet, guys, but did it not showcase a serious lack? You brought it up before the break, Hart, about situational basketball. This is basketball 101 with a lead with less than a minute, and you're chucking threes. I don't get it.
All right, thanks for the call, Jake. Yeah, I don't get it either. I think a lot of people from the outside don't get it. But I think they get it. I mean, we played the audio earlier of Joe Mazzulla. Other than the normal every game. Ah, I'd like to have those five shots back. He was happy with the shots. Or Fitzy, you brought up all the deeper dive statistics of how open the threes were, what their percentage normally is for those threes during the regular season.
Third quarter where the whole thing. 20 shots, 19 of which were threes. 19.
Yeah, but I don't care about the number. It's they were open shots. Joe Mazzulla doesn't. He says that's an open shot. That's good ball movement. We found the open man. Now hit the shot next time. I know you will. You know how I know that? Because you've hit that shot more often than not over the last months, years, seasons. So they are not going to change the way they look at it. I'd be stunned if they did. Mm-hmm. I know we raved about their ability to win in different ways against the Magic. Oh, they only hit 9 threes or they only took this many. Yeah, because the Magic prevented them from taking threes. The Knicks did nothing to prevent them from taking threes last night, nor did they do anything to prevent them from making them. The Celtics just missed them.
I still feel like it's a little more complicated than that, but understand at the same time, if you need a baseline takeaway or a lead, Celtics miss open shots, blow lead, Knicks steal game one. Okay, fine. What if tomorrow night, Tom Thibodeau, even though he doesn't have the same kind of defensive caliber and horses that the Magic did, that totally different style, let's just say he comes up with some sort of game plan that puts players and pressure in the grills of the Celtics and doesn't make the 63-point attempts as easy. How confident are you Mazzulla will adjust in-game on the fly and figure out a way to win?
So if Jalen Brunson and Karl Anthony Towns are playing, you have offensive mismatches you like. You have the ability.
Right.
So like that's the difference between the Magic. You know, they have five guys that can play defense. The Knicks don't have five guys that can play defense, and they got one guy that can play defense, and they play hack a foul shack guy thing to get him out of the game because he's in one of the worst slumps you'll ever see in terms of free throw shooting. So I just don't foresee that happening. I mean, the way the Knicks win is when the Celtics miss shots. 617-779-7937. Tom in Framingham is next here on WEEI Afternoons. Tom, what did you see last night?
Ahoy, hoy. Hey, so I think this is more proof that Mazzulla just isn't the guy. I mean, he has a stacked team, and he just rolls.
All right, thanks for the call, Tom.
They play by different rules in framing.
I think you stay with the one who brung you kind of thing, right? You dance with the one who brought you kind of thing. Like, yeah, they're missing shots, but they're your guys. I think you want to talk about us ripping Joe Mazzulla. Say he benches Drew Holiday, Derek White, whoever you, and puts Shireman and Pritchard and whoever else on the court.
That's a game. Let's go.
I think we'd be criticizing, oh my God, he panicked. Your coach isn't ready for the tough times. He, you know, hit the panic button kind of thing.
Can I talk about real quick, Brian Robb, who obviously does a great job with his Celtics coverage and analysis for Mass Live. He posted a clip earlier this morning, more rough overtime decisions. Why in overtime was Jaylen Brown helping Jason Tatum against OG Anunoby in the post, thereby leaving a 37% career three-point shooter open in the corner? And, of course, that guy buries the three. It was kind of I forget who exactly it was, but it was a bit of a dagger as well. They do that sometimes. Correct me if I'm wrong. Hasn't that happened to Jaylen Brown? Like where he's had some of those like late game defensive lapses or has helped collapse on a guy and left someone else open?
Yeah, I don't know if they're defensive lapses. I think they are collapsing, help defense, whatever, and they left a guy open. And I think it was Bridges that hit the three.
It was Bridges, yeah. Anunoby, like, he's a thorn in the side of the Celtics, man.
That's the other thing. Jalen Brunson, Bridges, and Anunoby made plays down the stretch. You couldn't make plays. They made plays. They, with the game on the line, situational basketball, crunch time, got to have it. The Knicks made some plays, and that's why they're up 1-0 in the series. But we'll see if things are the same tomorrow night. Coming up here on WEEI Afternoons, it's 3 o'clock. That means Ted Johnson's here. He's scribbling away. I see him taking notes over there, prepping for his three-point stance. He's coming in hot and heavy, reacting to this Celtics loss. Be interesting because he's an NBC Sports Boston guy, and I know their world, they were blaming the refs last night. We'll see if Ted Johnson's blaming the refs, Celtics shooting, Joe Mazzulla, or anything else. And I will tell you, with my three-point stance, another group that I think deserves some criticism, not the players, not the coaches, not the ownership, but there was another group involved with that game last night that I didn't think did what they're supposed to. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.